My name's Kristen, and I'm an addict. So grateful to be here this weekend. I love this retreat. I've been incredibly nervous about this for months now. Had the opportunity to know that I'm going to have to speak for, I want to say, a couple months, and it's been kind of plaguing me. So, you know, the first thing I want to do is get out of my own way. So the way I know how to do that, and I was taught in here, is to kind of, you know, put my self-centered fear out there and share openly and honestly so that I can be free of it. So now that that's out of the way. Youth in recovery, this is a really important topic to me. You know, when I first came into the rooms and when I first started coming around to conventions and retreats, this was always the workshop that I looked for in the pamphlet every single time I was coming, right? Because when I first got here, the first thing I wanted to do was disqualify myself, right? I wanted to separate myself from everybody who was here. And I wanted to walk in the room and I wanted to say that there was no one my age and there was no reason why I should be here and I was too young for this and I was too young for that and there's no way that I should be at the end of my road, right? But, you know, through the literature I learned that everybody has a different tolerance for pain. And I wasn't too young to be an addict, so I'm not too young to recover either. And we reach our bottoms when we decide to stop digging. Like, that's in one of our pamphlets about youth and recovery. Like, we don't have to go to the bitter end. You know, we don't have to. We know what happens if we continue along this path, right? Because our disease is progressive. There's only, the literature tells us there's three places it'll lead us, right? The jails, institutions, and death. And it also talks about, in the fifth edition, how, you know, we go to, if we don't die during the progression of this disease, we'll end up in jails, mental institutions, or complete demoralization, right? Because that is the process and the progression of the disease. So, you know, I know that. I don't have to go out there and find where it's going to lead me because the literature tells me. And that's my guidance today. You know, the literature and my predecessors and everybody who's here who has experience to share with me as long as I'm willing to hear it. Right? And I want to qualify a little bit, right? Because, you know, today I try to be open-minded and honest and willing, right? But when I was using, my idea of open-mindedness was like, I was the girl who would try anything. You know, and I wouldn't just try it once. I wouldn't just try it twice. I would just keep on trying different stuff until I found something that worked. But, like, the thing that happened is that I never found anything that worked for me. Because no matter what person, place, or thing outside of myself that I tried to fix how I was feeling inside, it never worked, right? Like, I had this spiritual void in my life, and I tried to fill it with anything and everything to take myself out of that feeling, out of that moment, out of the reality of the situation, like, any of that stuff, right? Because I was an addict way before I picked up the drug. You know, my first addiction was fantasy. You know, because the problem is within myself, right? It wasn't the drugs. Drugs were just a symptom of my real problem, which is the disease of addiction, which is, it lies in my thinking and my feeling, right? Because the whole time I was out there, and during my active addiction, and even before I picked up the drug, you know, I was always looking for that outside influence to change how I was feeling inside, right? Because I didn't want to deal with what was going on in here, whatever it may be, whether it be shame or guilt or inadequacy, or any of the things that I suffered from, depression. Like, I would always look for something to fill that hole, right? It could be men, it could be drugs, it could be sex, it could be food, it could be any of those things, right? To keep me from accepting where I'm at and, you know, what I need to do, because I had a complete inability to accept personal responsibility for everything in my life, everything in my life. You know, when I was out there, like I said, my open-mindedness consisted of, like, what do you have, when can I have it, and, like, that was it. You know, I was a complete, like, narcotic dumpster when I was out there. I had no idea how to have one and be done. Like, I thought I did. I thought I could figure it out, right? Because it was real important to me in my active addiction to figure everything out, right? I wanted to think my way out of feeling things. I wanted to figure my way out of doing things. Right, like I thought that I had this, right? I thought that I had control over everything around me. I wanted to manipulate situations. I wanted to manipulate people, places, and things. And it even went as far as that, like, I needed to manipulate your perspective of me. Right? Because I thought that I thought that I knew who I was, right? I thought that I was this really open, free person who could fit in anywhere because I thought I was genuine, right? I thought I was unique. I thought that I really knew who I was this whole time, right? Like the denial ran so deep with me that I thought the reason that I fit into all these different groups of people was because, like, I was genuine and they accepted that because I was who I really was, you know? I was real. The thing is that, like, I was a complete chameleon, and I made myself whatever I thought you wanted to see. I was constantly changing my appearance, again, to have control over your perception of who I was and what I was doing. You know, so I have a really deep understanding of how the disease of addiction works in my life, right? It manifests itself in lots of ways, you know, and I see that. And I'm so grateful, that I could pick that out today. Like, I'm so grateful that I have people who can see me coming when I can't. Because I would be lost. I would be lost without this program. Like, Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. When I got in here, and I'm sure it's the same for a lot of people. Like, we all have different stories, and we all took different paths, and we all had different ends. But, like, I firmly believe that the feelings are the same, right? We come in here with the same feeling, the hopelessness, the emptiness, you know, the pain. Like, I was at a point where I had accepted the fact that I was an addict, and I was a junkie, and I lived a junkie, and I was going to die a junkie, and that's just how my life was. I had come to acceptance on that point. You know, I just thought that I was going to live and die out there. I never even felt like the tiniest bit of hope. You know, it talks about in the basic text how we have these really short glimpses, like jolts of reality, right? And I can remember that so intensely when I look back in hindsight of like the end of my using, right? Like, I would have these like brief, right? Like fleeting thoughts of the reality of my situation. Like, all of a sudden I would touch ground again, and then all my justification, rationalization, and all of that would kick right back up, and it would give me another reason to go pick up again, right? Because by the time I got in here, nothing mattered anymore. Nothing mattered. I had completely disconnected from society. I was completely, you know, isolated. I didn't have a friend in the world. I didn't have a family that I was close to. I had none of those things, right? Because I just used to live and live to use. That was all I knew how to do. Was every minute of my day was waking up and figuring out how I could find the ways and means to get more. You know, it was totally upset. I was totally obsessed with the drug use because, again, I thought that I could control my feelings and I could control the outcomes. And you know, that's how I built my coping skills. That's what I used to escape the reality of everything. You know, and I thought that I could fix everything, and I thought I had all the answers, and I didn't know about Narcotics Anonymous. And I went into rehab, and it was not my idea, obviously. And you know, I was looking for the absence of pain. That's all I wanted. I just wanted the pain to go away. I had no idea that there was a new way that I could live, that I could have any of these things that I had long forgotten about, right? Like all my dreams and hopes and aspirations for myself that I had forgotten that I even had because I was so far removed. Because I gave up on myself so long ago because I never had any self-worth and I never had any self-esteem and I never had any of that, you know? I didn't have a relationship with self. I had none. And I'm not saying that I have a great relationship with myself today, but, like, I'm trying. And, you know, I came into this process, and I went into rehab, and I just wanted the pain to stop. And I didn't think I had a drug problem. I didn't think I had a problem at all. I thought that, like, I just needed to be detoxed from heroin and go back to living my life. Or lack of a life. What I really should say, because I really didn't have a life at all. My life consisted of, you know, my bedroom, my razor blade, and whatever else I could find, you know, because at the end of the road for me, like, I keep it real with myself, like, thinking about the pain that I went through during my active addiction. and how far I've come in this process already. You know, I have this mental image that I pick up, you know, like when I was using and I was such a fiend, right? I would just keep all of my bags. I just had boxes full of empty dope bags, and I would sit there because I didn't have any more money, and I didn't have anything else to steal, and I didn't have anything else to sell, and I didn't have anywhere else to go. And I would sit there with my razor blade, and I would cry, and I would scrape every single one of those baggies clean so I could just get just a little bit. And, you know, when I think about seeing myself there today, it just is so heartbreaking. That I could get so caught up in that vicious cycle that I could even allow myself to get there today, right? Because, like, I have so much in my life now, and it is only because of this process and because of this program. Because, like, I am real clear on the fact that if I would not have put down the drugs long enough to see a different way, that I would not be alive today. You know, I had no intentions to spend my 21st birthday at my first area service. You know, I had no intentions to be at my first area service picking up my 90-day key tax. Like, I didn't want any of that because I just didn't want to look at the problem still. But, right, like, thank God. God is so good to me. Works in my life all the time. Does for me what I can't do for myself. Right? Put some people in my life to show me that, like, when we come in here, we have a choice, and we never have to use again, no matter what. No matter what, you never have to use again, and you just got to keep coming, right? So the important part of the process for me, because I got to talk about how my perspective shifted a little bit, well, a lot, it's just, you know, I got scooped up early on. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't really accept what NA was. I wasn't listening in rehab. I wasn't paying attention. You know, I was on suicide watch in rehab the whole time I was there. I was completely lost. I thought I had all the answers. I just wasn't listening, right? Like, I was more concerned with who was giving me the googly eyes from across the room during the meeting at rehab. Like, I didn't care if he's here from the jail and the penitentiary and he's been here for 7 years. And if you were looking at me, like, I thought that meant that, you know, you loved me. Like, that's where I got my, I thrived off of the attention, right? Because I was so not right with myself. Like, I was so diseased that I needed somebody else to tell me that I was okay, that I was worth it, that I was this, that I was that. You know, anything that I could get for you to validate me. That became, like, my new search when I first put down the drug. Like, I had no idea. I still had no idea yet of the obsession and the compulsion that lies in this disease for me. Like, so I went chasing after this validation anywhere that I could find it. And, you know, I'm sitting in the meetings at rehab, and I'm on my suicide watch, and I'm not sleeping, and I'm not eating, and I'm not talking to anybody. And my counselor sent me home early from rehab because they said that I was a guaranteed relapse. I was a guaranteed relapse. Because people, places, and things for me was my family. It was my house. You know, that's what it was. And I wanted to go home. Right? So I was a guaranteed relapse, so they sent me home early. You know, guaranteed relapse, suicide watch, pretty good idea, right? Send her home. She'll figure it out. Not really. So I went home and totally lost train of track of where I was going with that. But oh, right. God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. You know, I'm chasing all this validation and I don't know what to do, and I just have this feeling that, like, if I don't do something different, I'm gonna just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I knew that I was gonna pick up. And you know, God put some wonderful people in my life in my process of getting to my end, too. And I started to get this little, like, spark of clarity, just like a little bit. And I saw someone who was saying this prayer that I had heard somewhere, right? somewhere rehab, I heard it, but I just wasn't listening, right? And I just kind of said to him, and I don't know what why it came to my mind. I said, "Do you go to NA and will you be my sponsor?" Before I had ever been to a meeting, before I really knew what was going on in my life, and the Serenity Prayer is the prayer that I saw them using, and I said, like, "Will you be my sponsor?" And that was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, right? Because she said, "Come to my home group." And I did, right? That was my first experience with taking direction. And I went to her home group, and she said she would sponsor me, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I had no idea what a sponsor was. I had no idea what Narcotics Anonymous was. I had no idea what recovery was. Like, all I knew how to do was use. I didn't know how to live without drugs. Like, I didn't know how to live with or without the drugs. I know it says that in our literature, and, like, that stands out to me so much, right? Because, like, I didn't know how to live with the drugs, but when I put the drugs down, like, I still didn't know how to live. Right, so if I would have came to this process, if somebody wouldn't have told me, like, here's this meeting, this is where it is, meet me then, there, I would never have, I know for myself that I would never have searched for a meeting. I would have never gone, I would have never showed up for myself, but, like, thank goodness I was able to show up for somebody that I knew cared about me, right? And I got to my first meeting, and I know that I wouldn't have been able to ask for a sponsor, because when I first got here, I didn't talk at all. I was terrified. I didn't know how to handle myself. I didn't know how to have a conversation with someone. I didn't know how to look somebody in the eyes. I didn't know how to carry myself. I didn't know how to dress myself. I didn't know how to do anything, right? So God set this all up nice and even for me. All I had to do was follow direction. And so I have the sponsor before I go to my first meeting. And I go to the meeting and she says, like, here's these books. She gives me my books. She says, do this, read this, write this, and I just started there. And, like, that's why it's real important to me to talk about following direction, like, even when you don't want to, right? Like, I very grudgingly started this process. I wanted nothing to do with it. I didn't even want to be clean when I got here. Like, I didn't even want to be clean. You know, I didn't think that was right. Like, I had to get rid of all my old preconceptions about how things should be, right? Because, like, my 21st birthday, I wait my whole life for my 21st birthday, right? It's like my whole life, it's just like the rest of my story. My whole life, I was waiting for that person, place, or thing to make everything all right. And, you know, it just, I had to let go of the fact that, like, you know, that maybe that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. You know, maybe that's not where I was supposed to be, because I had been through so much pain and emptiness and hopelessness in that process, that all I wanted to do, like I said, I wanted the absence of pain. So when they said, like, if you do this, it'll stop hurting eventually. Like, just keep coming, right? Like, we'll love you until you learn how to love yourself. Just follow direction. Just go to a meeting. Like, get some phone numbers. And, like, I didn't follow it perfectly, obviously. I'm not perfect. Like, I make a lot of mistakes along the way. But, like, the important thing to me in this process is that, like, no matter how many times you fall down, you just have to keep on getting up. And you just have to keep it moving. Right foot, left foot. Like, just keep it moving. And another important thing for me, too, is that, you know, within learning how to use the how of the program, like, I had to read some of the literature. And one of my favorite lines in the literature is that, you know, all we had to do was try. And that's in the third step, I believe. Like, all we have to do is try. So I learned that, like, as long as I just kept trying and making the effort and putting the footwork in, like, the right things would happen for me. Like, and I didn't have to control the results. I just had to do my part. And I had to learn what my part was. Because I wanted to blame everyone for everything. Nothing was my fault. I'm so sensitive, right? And I'm so out of touch with the fact that I am sensitive, that if something hurts my feelings, it's not that I'm sensitive that it hurts. It's because you said it the wrong way, or you went about it the wrong way, or you did this wrong, or you did that wrong. It's not me. It's definitely you. You know, like, my problem was not me. It was everyone else. And it's just so amazing how far you can come in this process if you're willing to do some work. Like, nobody said it was going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be pain-free, but, like, they told me that if I kept doing these things, like, I could get some freedom, from my self-made bondage, right? Because I put myself in a lot of situations that are really destructive. Like, as an addict, I crave destruction. That's all I want. All of my behaviors, everything I knew and learned, centered around, like, the point that, like, I just wanted to die because I didn't know how to live. You know, everything I did, and I've been able to put down so many self-destructive behaviors in this process and through, like, understanding that, like, today I need to learn how to love myself enough to show up, enough to do the work. Like, I have to give myself a break. Like, I have to listen to the direction. I have to follow it. Because I don't have the answers. If I had the answers, I wouldn't have showed up in Narcotics Anonymous with no idea how to go a minute without using. Right? Like, if I had the answers, I wouldn't go through all that pain. If I had the answers, I would not be stealing $200 worth of quarters out of my parents' bedroom so that I could get, you know, just a little bit more. I wouldn't be scraping those bags and licking them clean. You know, I would not be doing any of those things that I found myself doing at the end of the road. Like, all those things that make me sick to my stomach to even see in my mind now. Like, thinking back, like, I can't believe that I was there because this process has afforded me so much, right? So I learned that, like, all I had to do was follow some direction. And I just had to try. And somebody told me that, you know, God sees willingness. And if I do my part, and, you know, walk halfway, he'll meet me there. So it's really important to me, this topic, right, because back to the topic, I'm a little bit scattered, I'm nervous still. Youth and recovery, right, like, I want to stress the point that, like, I came in here and I wanted to disqualify myself right away. I wanted to disqualify myself right away. And it's so important that I not do that, because the unity in this program is so important, right? Everyone here is equal. No matter, it doesn't matter. We don't discriminate age, sex, you know, creed, religion, lack of religion, any of those things. It says it right in our literature. Like, I am not any less deserving of my seat in Narcotics Anonymous because I came in here when I was 20 years old. And there's this beautiful thing about being young and in recovery. You know, it's a lot of pain. It's a lot of pain. But it says in the third step, like, once we get a taste, like, I start letting go of all that self-centered fear and I start replacing it with faith, right? And we get a little taste of that freedom and we want more. Talks about that in the third step. And, you know, I have a great desire to move forward in this process. I love Narcotics Anonymous. It has opened up the world to me, right? Like, it's a beautiful thing about being young and in recovery. Like, I wanted to say, like, I thought when I got clean, I wasn't going to have any fun. I wasn't going to have any friends. I wasn't going to do this. I wasn't going to do that because, like, my life was going to need to become deadly serious, right? Deadly serious. You know, because I didn't know what fun was. Fun for me was, like, I can drink more beers than you, even though, like, you're a dude and you weigh 200 pounds. Like, I'm a champ, right? Like, I had this freaking, oh, my God, right? I'm surprised I could fit my head inside the door. Like, I thought that's what cool was, right? Like, my idea of cool was, like, live, you know, like, I wanted to live fast, I wanted to use hard, and I wanted to die young and pretty, right? Like, that was my whole philosophy on life, right? Like, I'm just going to use as hard as I can so that I never have to deal with anything. How self-centered, right? So I thought that getting clean was going to be no fun. It was going to be no fun, and I'm so much fun. I like to have fun, right? I was sadly mistaken about that and almost everything else I thought when I came in these doors. I have had so many beautiful experiences in this process, right? Like, yeah, I didn't think it was going to be fun in that area. Whatever my idea of fun was very distorted and warped and diseased. And I got to tell you, like, I didn't really, looking back, think that it was fun that I couldn't even go to the Jersey Shore an hour away because I'd be dope sick by the time I got there and have to turn around. Like, that wasn't fun. I can't even remember when it was fun still when I was using. because it wasn't, right? Like, I was the girl that didn't get invited to the parties because I was a freaking cyclone, right? Like, I came to the party and there was sure to be destruction, right? Because that's just how I was, because I had absolutely no control. Once I picked up that first one, it was hopeless for me to stop once I picked up the first one, right? Like, nobody invited me to the party because I was completely out of freaking control. You better believe every party I ever had at my house, somebody left covered in blood, usually me, usually self-inflicted, usually because of alcohol or whatever else I was mixing in my, you know, cocktails that night. You know, like, all I wanted was more, more, more of anything that you could give me. It's just how I lived. Right, so that was my idea of fun. You know, my 18th birthday party, getting my nose broken by my boyfriend in front of my entire family. That's my life using. You know, and I'm not saying that I was a victim in that because I volunteered to be in the relationship. And, you know, it's just the reality of what it was for me out there, and it's not like that today. I have learned what fun really is in recovery and what it's like to live your life. You know, I don't have to just float through life anymore with a minimum of concern. Because I've been given so much freedom in this process, like, everything I've ever searched for my entire life, I have found in these rooms. Whether it be love, compassion, empathy, guidance, friendship, companionship, acceptance, all of those things that I've searched for so much in my life. Like, all I ever wanted to do was feel like I was a part of something. I wanted to feel like I was okay. I wanted to feel accepted. I wanted to feel like you liked me. I wanted to feel like you loved me. I wanted to do whatever I could do to compromise myself so that you would tell me those things that made me temporarily feel like everything was okay. I found that all in this process, but the thing is that it's genuine today. Like, and this is going to sound really, it's the simple things today. And that's what I love about the fact that this retreat is called Simplicity is the Key. Because, like, through my process of coming to believe, I've really got in touch with a lot of gratitude for the very simple things in my life today. You know, I never had a relationship with a female in my life. I never had a friend that I could keep because, like, it took too much work. And I didn't want to hear the truth about what I was doing and who I was with and the stuff that I didn't want to look at. And, like, that's what my friends did. They told me, like, you know, even in high school, like, I think that maybe, you know, you need to stop. And it was a joke then. And it's just these things that I have in my life today, right, fill my spirit. Like, I can't tell you, and I'm not going to cry. I totally am not going to cry. If I do cry, it'll be the first time in a long time. So, like, it's the simplest things. Last night, I was here, right, and I've been working really hard to get a relationship with myself and with some women in this process over the past couple months. And, like, it's the simplest things, right? Like, when I first got here, I would hang out with women, and I would say, like, what do we do? Like, what do girls do? What do friends do? Like, do we have a pillow fight? Like, what are we supposed to do? Are you going to paint my nails? Like, I had no idea how to be a female. I had no idea how to be a friend. I had no idea what a relationship with anybody was like, right? I didn't know how to freaking, I barely even brushed my teeth. I didn't know how to do my hair. Like, I didn't know how to do any of those things, right? And last night, I'm sitting in my room with my sponsor and one of my girlfriends in this process. And, you know, I had to write about it because it's so stupid. It's like the simplest thing, right? But it's so important to me to be in touch with these things and, like, my gratitude for them, right? She says, like, I'm complaining about how I need my eyebrows waxed, right? She says to me, I'll tweeze your eyebrows. And it took everything I had, like, while she was doing that, not to just bust into tears because I'm so grateful for the fact that, like, I can allow myself to be that vulnerable with somebody today. It's like a foreign concept, right? Like, I had to sit down and write it down before I went to bed because, like, I can't believe that, like, my life is so beautiful today. Like, I've been afforded the opportunity to do so much with myself. Like, the freedom from the bondage is so amazing. Like, just learning how to live, and, like, not just live, but, like, I'm learning how to not only live my life, but, like, love my life. Like, I try very, very hard every moment to really savor what is going on around me, because I was never in touch with that before. And my life is precious to me today. It's so important to me. I came out here. My brother's wife is pregnant, and it's going to be my first nephew, and it's the first grandchild in the family and all of that. And I want to talk about gratitude a little bit, because it's such a huge part of my recovery. I was a little bit hesitant to come out here because this weekend is her due date for the baby. And it's my first nephew, and like, it's so important to me, and I've learned in this process, like, how to show up for myself and how to show up for others. And, like, I was really, really grateful for the opportunity that I could be a part of this child's life. Because when I was using, I would not have given a second thought to it. I would not have cared. So I was hesitant to come out here, and, of course I should have figured that God's in charge, right? Because I'm not only here, I'm not only carrying the message, but, like, I'm getting so filled up right now, right? And, like, the baby's not here yet. But when I go home, like, I have all that much more to look forward to. And I'm so grateful for the fact that I could show up for life today. Like, life on life's terms is not always pleasant. But, like, part of the serenity that I've gotten from it is learning to accept the fact that life has ebbs and flows. And, like, that's just what happens, right? That's life showing up. It's not me being punished. It's not me being put through a test. It's not me being less than, or any of the things that my disease wants to tell me, right? Like, it's just life. Like, I no longer have to be at odds with my higher power. I don't have to say, like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen? Like, because I'm pretty sure that, like, life is just showing up, and he's just there to keep me strong, right? And I'm just so grateful for this process, man. I'm so grateful for the steps. I'm so grateful for sponsorship. I'm so grateful for the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, right? Because, like, no matter where I go, I know I can go to a meeting and I can feel like I'm at home. And I know that no matter where I go, I can go to a meeting and I can share, and somebody's going to identify with me. And I don't ever have to be alone, right? So that's real important to me, that, like, one, I never have to be alone. Two, I never am alone, even when I feel like I am. It's only a phone call away, a drive away, a meeting away. Like, I get out of this program what I put in. And, I've learned that, like, if I want all those things that I want for myself, if I want the freedom from all the pain that I inflict on myself from doing the same stuff over and over again, knowing it's wrong and not being able to stop, like, knowing it's wrong, feeling it's wrong, not wanting to do it anymore, and not having the willingness to just stay committed to stopping, right? And I'm talking about behaviors now, not just the drugs, because, like, I put down the drugs and I was able, thank by the grace of God, to stop, right? But it's all this other stuff that I watch myself doing that just tears me up. And I know I'm causing harm to myself and another human being by keeping on doing it. But sometimes that feeling inside that just eats me up, man, it is the worst feeling. I'll do anything. I'll do anything to make it go away. Like, I will reach for anything to make it stop, right? And I've kind of learned through this process that I just kind of have to sit on my hands and sit still and pray and just do what I know works. Go to a meeting, call my sponsor, write some step work, call somebody else, reach out, ask for help, right? That's what the second step was all about for me, learning how to ask for help. And I just try to keep it moving in this process. Just follow direction and just keep it moving and keep coming back. I mean, I feel like I've been talking forever. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. But I feel better. I don't feel like I'm going to vomit anymore. So I guess something good happened. But I'm just so thankful to be able to come up here and share the message of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's, that an addict, any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Slow clap. but Yeah, so if you're new, just keep coming, go to a meeting, get a sponsor, do some step work, just follow the suggestions, and, you know, like, if it works, it works if you work it. That's all I'm saying. Thanks for letting me share.
The next one is Steve G. from Friday Night Candlelight Group of NA in the North PGH area of NA.
My name is Steve. I'm an addict. I don't know. Thanks for sharing, by the way. I really related to that, but, I don't know, first of all, like, I want to thank God for, like, giving me, like, the courage and strength to, like, come up here and, like, speak and serve, you know, like, I get an honor to come up here and, like, speak for, like, Narcotics Anonymous, because, like, not only did Narcotics Anonymous, like, give me this, or, like, give me this life, but, like, it saved my life, you know what I mean? It's crazy. Usually I don't get too nervous anymore, but, like, I woke up early this morning, was all nervous, I prayed before I got here, like usual, and, I don't know, but, like, I need to, like, keep in mind that, like, it's not about, like, coming up here and, like, talking good and, like, doing all these things. It's, like, honestly, like, about, like, how I'm carrying the principles and all my affairs, you know. Because, like, for me, like, I get, like, really caught up in, like, the sharing aspect and, like, looking good and, like, doing all this stuff that doesn't even matter, all this exterior stuff, and, like, forget, like, why I really come here and, like, to get better. It's an honor to come up here and speak here, but, I don't know, I'll start from, like, the beginning. Like, I came to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting when I was 14 years old. I went to this outpatient facility in the North Hills. I'm from Wexford, Pennsylvania. And I went to this facility, and, like, I was getting high every day and, like, doing all these things and all this grimy stuff. And I went to this facility, and they told me to go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting to get a sponsor, to get a home group, like, get all, like, the basics of the program. And, like, I wanted to stay clean. Like, I had that desire. I had that fire. Like, I wanted to stay clean. And, like, I knew the way I was living was wrong. And I went to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Like I said, I was 14. And I walked into the meeting, and I was the youngest person there by at least, like, 10, 15 years. And, like, I didn't relate to anyone. Like, people talked about, like, shooting dope and smoking crack. And, like, at that time, like I didn't do that. Like, it wasn't about that for me at the time. I wanted to stay clean, but, like, honestly, I was talking to this guy on the way here, and, like, I didn't want to put in any of the work. Like, I was so not willing at all. I got a sponsor. I asked this guy to be my sponsor, and he said, yeah, like, we're going to work steps. And I was like, I don't know what that is. Like, no, like, I'm not doing that. And, but, like, I called him every day, and I was staying abstinent. I'm not going to say that I was, like, living the program. I was staying abstinent, and I stayed clean for, like, 90 days. And I went out and used. And, like, this is the thing, like, for me, like, there's a difference between, like, me coming in here and using and relapse. Because our literature talks about how recovery is an active change of our ideas, attitudes, and behaviors. And I didn't do that when I first got here. I didn't work steps. I didn't learn the traditions or practice any of the principles. I just, like, went to one or two meetings a week, and I didn't use. And I called this guy who was my sponsor at the time. And, like, talking to him now, he's like, Steve, like, there, like, I saw it coming. Like, you didn't want to do anything. Like, willingness wasn't there. Like, I got these guys' numbers, but, like, I never called them. Like, especially I got these guys' numbers around my sponsor, so he thought I was doing great. But, he knew, so, I don't know, and I used, and I went out for, like, 9 months, and, like, I had no desire to come back. But, like, here's the thing, like, once I come in the rooms and, like, go out, like, it's never the same. Never for me. And that's, like, one of the, like, things that's happened to me in here. And so I came back, my clean date's November 19th, 09. I got clean when I was 15 years old this time. And, like, I wanted to stay clean. Like, I knew, like, the way I was living, like, again, like, sucked. Like, I wasn't doing anything right. I was doing all this grimy stuff and, like, the animalistic behaviors, like, the Who's an Addict talks about in our literature. And so, I went back to the same facility, and, like, I couldn't get clean. I just couldn't do it. I wanted to stay clean. I went to a few meetings, but, like, I just couldn't get clean, bottom line. And, like, they told me again, like, oh, like, we knew you'd come back. And so, like, I went back to, like, to Narcotics Anonymous, and, like, I went to a meeting here or there. I didn't get a sponsor. I maybe picked up, like, a 30-day key tag or something like that. And, so they sent me away to this, inpatient facility in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. And, I went there for like, I think it was like 21 days or something. And like a lot of the people there like knew who I was, like they knew my sponsor. Like I was like, oh, so and so used to sponsor me. And they're like, oh yeah, I remember him like talking about you and stuff. And so like, I knew some of these people and like I told them, I was like, I want to stay clean. Like I want to do this. Like, please help me. And so like, they were like, okay, Steve, like we're going to go to meetings. Like, okay, like you can have a basic text here and like get phone numbers and stuff. And so, and, like, I started doing that, and they told me, like, Steve, like once you get out of here is, like, when it really counts. Like, honestly, like, everything I do outside of the room is, like, when it really counts for me. Because I know in my experience, like, I can talk all this great stuff and, like, do all this stuff inside the rooms, but, like, it's really how I'm living outside that really matters. I went to this, like, workshop that a few months ago, and it was called The Other 23 Hours of the Day. Like, that's it right there. Because this disease is with me 24 hours a day, so I can't afford to, like, be complacent and just be, like, okay for the 1 hour of the day that I go to a meeting. But as I was saying, like, I went to this facility, and I got out after 21 days, and, like, I had, I think, like, yeah, like, 21 days clean, and, like, I got a sponsor, and he said, yeah, to call him every day, get phone numbers, all these guys, like, a year clean, and so, like, I started, like, developing a Wii, and going to meetings on a regular basis, like, I did a 90 and 90, when he said step work, I was like, yes, like, okay, I'm willing to do step work. I was just like, this time I was so willing to do, like, whatever I needed to do to stay clean, and, like, that's the beauty of it. Like, this time, like, I was talking to my, my old sponsor last night, actually, and he was, like, telling me, like, how, like, we're hungry for recovery, and then, like, we get complacent, and we're not so hungry anymore, and so, like, for me, like, when I'm willing, and I'm, like, hungry for the recovery, like, I need to take advantage of that time. Like, I need to do everything that I can when I'm willing to do, like, what it takes, so then, like, when I'm not, like, hungry for recovery, and I'm not so willing, and I get complacent, then, like, I can go to the reserves, like, the phone numbers, and, like, the guys that I called, and, like, some of the steps that I've worked, so then I can be okay and stay clean. But I got out of this facility, like I was saying, and I started working some steps around here, and, like, doing some of the work that, like, guys told me. Like, I started, getting guys' phone numbers, like I was saying, and, going to more meetings, and the life was great. Like, I was doing it. I was working the program. Like, going to meetings and doing what guys with clean time told me to do. And, like, life was getting better. I don't know. So, like, I had, like, 90 days clean. Like, I was doing everything, or most of the things that, like, people told me to do. And so, like, I got this home group, and I need to talk about this home group, because, like, I love it. It's this, Friday night meeting in Cranberry, Pennsylvania, and it's, like, all, like, young people. And, like, all, like, young people, like, motivated by, like, a desire to stay clean, you know? And, like, there's, like, one person over the age of, like, 30 in my home group. Like, it's crazy. It's all, like, youth and recovery. And, like, it's all guys and women that, like, work steps and, like, and do all these things. Like, it's crazy. Because, like, when I came back this time, like, I expected everyone to be, like, older than me, like usual, and, like, not be young and stuff like that. But, like, there's a lot of young people. Like, there's people in their 20s and late teens and stuff like that I can more relate to, and, like, that's, like, one of the reasons that, like, I stayed this time, is because I could relate better, and, like, I wanted to stay clean, so, I don't know, like, I got this around, like, 7 months clean, like, I got a new sponsor, and, like, one of the things, like, I stress so much is, like, I'm so grateful that, like, I've had sponsors that have just, like, pounded step work into my head. I just, like, drill, like, the power of, like, the literature into my head when I got here, because that's, like, such a crucial part of my program. Like, if it wasn't for me, like, going into literature and, like, doing some steps and some inside work, like, I would not be here today, bottom line. I would not be here. And so, like, that's something that, like, I try to stress is, like, the step work and tradition work and, like, literature. Because, like, I read a lot of literature and, like, I try to do my steps, on a regular basis and, like, and continue to grow through this process, you know? But, I don't know, like, life was getting better and life was getting better fast. I remember, like, when I was 16, I had my 16th birthday. And then, and on my 1 year clean, I was 16, I got my driver's license, I went to my first tri-state convention, like, I was going back to school, I was doing well in school. One of the things that, like, happened to me when I was using is, I just completely failed school, like, every year, I had to go to summer school, I didn't do anything, so, like, it was a big deal for me to, like, go back to school and, like, do really well, and it's just crazy, like, all the rewards this program has to offer, and, like, stuff happens, like, when I truly put in the work around here. So, like, I'm going to school, and, like, I have a year clean, and I'm starting to get, like, a little cocky, because, Like, at the time, like, I thought I'd never get a year clean. I never thought I'd get, like, a few days. So, like, I'm 16, I have a year clean, going to conventions, like, and my one sponsor, like, is like, Steve, like, why don't you get involved in service? And so it's like, okay, I'll get a service commitment. And I took, like, secretary in my area at the time, and so, like, I'm getting involved, I'm doing more step work, I have this new guy sponsoring me, I'm going, like, branching out to different areas, different regions, and, like, at this time, I've been to meetings in different states and stuff like that. So, like, I know, like, a few people around here at this time, and, like, this is so much, like, ego and arrogance and false pride that starts taking over me. Like, I just, like, stop getting phone numbers. I stop, like, working on my step as much. I stop doing the basics around here because, like, honestly, like, the basics are, like, what keeps me around here. Like, the more I stare away from the basics, like, the harder it is for me. But so, like, I'm doing all this stuff and I have, like, a year clean at the time. And like, I'm not so willing to do what I have to do anymore. And I get complacent. I'm, like, still doing service work, I guess. But, like, I completely stopped doing, like, step work altogether for a period of time. And like, I feel it. Like, usually, like, for me, like I feel when I'm doing bad. And if it wasn't for, like, me, like, getting these guys' phone numbers who, like, call me on a daily basis and tell me, like, when I'm doing stuff wrong and when I'm not, like, living so great. I'm just so grateful for the people in my life today. So, like, I'm doing all this, like, I'm getting back. They tell me, like, Steve, like, you need to start going to more meetings. You need to start doing the basics and doing, like, what you did when you first got here. Like, calling your sponsor more and working steps more and go to more meetings and doing all these things. And so I get this huge burst of willingness. Like, the past, like, 9 months of my recovery has just been, like, pure willingness for me. I've been, like, calling my sponsor almost every day. And, like, he doesn't pick up as much as I like, but it's another thing. And, like, I've been doing, like, my step work more and more now. And, like, I've been, like, working, like, 40, 50 hours a week, and, like, doing school, and, like, doing, like, still a little bit of service. Like, when I had a year clean, I got an H&I commitment, and, just got, like, really, really involved, because, like, I was told, like, real early on, like, yeah, you gotta get in the middle, or you don't fall off, or whatever, something like that, and so, like, that's what I was, like, doing this time, is, like, really, like, putting in some of the work around here. Like, I can say today that, like, I've done some of the work around here that, like, the predecessors told me to do. Like, I've worked a few steps around here, and I know right from wrong today. When I got clean, it was all about don't do the wrong thing, don't use no matter what. And now it's, like, for me, like, it's so much more than using. Like, in our literature, it talks about how, like, the longer we stay clean, the more evident that, that addiction involves so much more than the drugs we use. And so, and that's, like, where the step work comes in for me. I remember, like, listening to this guy on tape, and, like, he was, like, telling, like, in his lead, he was, like, saying how, like, our literature also talks about how, like, many of us believe that, like, the disease of addiction was apparent in our lives before we ever used. And so what that tells me is that the disease is apparent in my life before I ever used. And I used for a period of time, and now I'm clean again. So, like, I got to do something else. I'm just not using anymore, so nothing's there. And so, like, I got to do step work for me and, like, really change the inside, because I know for me, I love to do the outside stuff and like, look real good and, like, try to do all these things. But, like, honestly, it's so much more than not using for me. It's so much more. And I can't stress how important step work is in my life today. Like, when I was doing the third step, and I remember reading in the Works on Why, like, the spiritual path set forth by the 12 steps is the only way to recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. The only way. So I need to keep that in mind, because, like, for me, like, it's not always good around here. Like, just because I stopped using doesn't mean life's going to get any easier. It's just, like, better for me. Like, I truly, like, I would take this over using any day of the week. But, like, I've been through a few storms around here, and, like, I know through, like, relying on my foundation that I set in the beginning, like, everything would be okay. And, like, one thing that, like, I always remember is that God has me no matter what. And prayer is such a huge part of my recovery today. My buddy told me, like, when I had, like, a year clean, like, I was going through this rough patch. And he told me, he's like, Steve, like, your sponsor may not pick up the phone. Like, some guy may not be able to take you to a meeting. Or, like, the pen may run out of ink when you're doing your step work. But God is always going to be there, bottom line, always. And that's just, like, something that, like, I have today. It's, like, I have that trust and faith that, like, no matter what, if I'm doing what I need to be doing and not taking nothing, that, like, things are going to turn out. Not always my way, but, like, the way God wants it to be. And I know at the end of the day, like, that's the right thing. Because if things went my way, like, I would not be here. Like, I would have been using a while ago. And it's only through, like, God's grace and God's mercy that I'm still here. Because I don't know, like, my sponsor told me, like, with, like, the whole God's grace thing, that, like, that means, like, undeserved merit, and that, like, I did not earn my seat. Like, to be honest, like, there are people that, like, I grew up with that are dead and never even had an opportunity to go to one Narcotics Anonymous meeting. Not one. And I've been here a few times, and just, like, coming in and out a little bit, and so, like, for me, it just completely tells me that, like, I cannot afford to shit on this program again, because, like, I thoroughly believe I always have another relapse, but I do not know if I have another recovery in me. And, like, I don't want to find out. I don't want to go on any more research missions. Like, I want to stay here today. Like, just for today, like, no matter what, like, I do not have to take anything. And, it's just, like, a freedom I have, from, like, being here a little while and working some steps. And, I don't know, like, where I'm at today. Like, life's great. Like, I'm going back to school. Like, I'm doing my last year of high school. On Thursday, like, I went to look at Duquesne University. And, like, they were like, yeah, we want you to go here. It's like, wow, like, that's crazy. Somebody actually wants me to, like, go to their school and, like, stuff like that. So, I went there. I'm going to the World Convention on Wednesday with a few people, and that's, like, a huge deal for me. I love going to conventions and, like, going, like, traveling and stuff, so that's definitely going to be fun. But, I don't know, like, my sponsor, like, lately has been, like, really stressing on me, like, helping the newcomer and, like, get out of that ego and, like, humble myself. And so, like, one thing that, like, really I've really been doing lately and, like, trying to do is, like, help the new guy. Because, like, I know for me, like, coming in when I was, the first time when I was 14, and, like, my head down, and, like, there's people that said hi to me, and, like, help me out a little bit, but, like, I know, like, I need to be doing the same thing. Like, when there's that young guy walking in the meeting, a newcomer who doesn't know anyone's name and can barely talk because they just got out of, like, an institution or just got back from a run, like, it is my responsibility and my duty to go up to that dude and get his number and call him. Like, that's just something that, was deeply ingrained in me in the beginning. It's like, I need to keep what I have by giving it away and helping the newcomer. And, like, God's, like, gave me the opportunity to sponsor a few guys and, like, help some people and just some, like, positive things. But, like, it's, like, I say it all the time, it's only through, like, step work, like, me not taking anything and, like, doing some of the work around here, you know? But, I don't know, with, like, the whole youth and recovery thing, when I got clean, like, there was obviously some people that, like, didn't like me being around because I was so young and, like, so happy and, like, stuff like that. Like, I remember a few guys, like, telling me, like, I spilled more booze on my tie than you ever drank and stuff like that. And, like, I was like, okay, like, whatever, fuck you, you're old, I don't care, I'm 15. Like, you can go screw yourself, I have more clean time than you. And, like, just, like, stuff like that. But, like, honestly, like, I need to be careful. Like, we need to be careful, like, what we say to people around here. Because, like, for me, like, to be completely honest, like, when I got here, and, like, I never shot dope or smoked crack. I never did. And I truly believe I don't have to. Because, like, there's a lot, I've seen a lot of people come in and say that they smoked weed or did this and that, and just heard people sharing about shooting dope and smoking crack and went out and used. You know, like, for me, like, I try to share that, like, it's not about the drug, like, what drugs we use. It's not about that one bit. It doesn't fucking matter how young we are or how old we are. My buddy tells me all the time, he's like, Steve, you could be 17 with almost 2 years clean, or you could be 50 with 2 days clean. Bottom line. Like, so I need to remember this is a gift for me. And, like, I need to take advantage of this gift. Because, there's, like, a lot young people coming in lately, and, like, adolescent halfway houses now, and, like, and, like, I need to be the example, like, of someone who's got, like, stayed clean young, and, like, done some of the things around here. Like, I got the opportunity to meet, like, more young people around, like, my one buddy's 18 and celebrated year, like, that's awesome, like, I love that sort of stuff, and, he's here right now, I won't embarrass him a little bit, but, I don't know, like, there's, like, my first sponsor got clean when he was 17 and has coming up on 4 years, like, I love that stuff, and, but at, like, the same time, like, I still, today, hang around with guys with, like, 20 years clean that are, like, 70 years old and, like, the predecessors, like, I love, like, old school, like, recovery, because I'm so stubborn that, like, when people are, like, I suggest, I go, no, I don't care, like, but when, like, a guy with 20 years clean is, like, Steve, like, look, like, the way you're living's wrong, like, I wouldn't want you to fucking do this, like, it just completely, like, reevaluates, like, my whole idea system, but, like, life is great today. I can't stress that enough. But, like, it's only through, like, me doing some work around here that, like, I can get the freedom. And, like, obviously, like, not taking the first one. But, I don't know. I just wanted to say this real fast. Like, the area that I come from, like, I am so blessed from the area I come from. We have, like, a million meetings and, like, some great recovery out there. But at the same time, like, I believe that, like, we forget to put that emphasis on, like, how important not taking the first one is. You know, like, to be completely honest, everything I have up to this point, everything spiritual, materialistic, like, emotional, is all for me not taking the first one. everything is based on not taking the first one. Like it says in our literature, we can come here high, and we can do all these things, but like, I gotta stop using before I can, like, really get what a meeting has to offer and work a first step and do some of the things people tell me around here. But, I don't know, it's just a lot of things. I don't know, I'm sort of gonna run with it now, but, never been to this retreat, and I love it so far. I love coming out into nature and not having to work and do stuff like that, because, like, work, like, Narcotics Anonymous has given me this opportunity to have a life and, like, have a job and have a healthy relationship with my family and my sisters and brothers and like, ultimately, like, a relationship with the God of my understanding. And for me, like, that's the most important one, the God of my understanding, bottom line. And that's just for me. But, I don't know, it's crazy, though, because, like, I was talking to my mom the other day, and she's like, Steven, I'm proud of you. And it's just like, whoa, where'd that come from? Like, holy shit, like, because, like, for me, like, I was such a disappointment. Like, I remember, like, coming out of rehab, and, like, my mom, like, telling me, she's like, Steven, like, I'm so glad that, like, you've got a little bit of clean time now, because, like, I can go to bed with ease now. I don't have to go to bed crying now. I don't gotta have the phone with me, so I have to call the police, like, when you're out so late, and, like, go to the hospital, like, and, like, see you there dying, like, because it's happened to me, like, because, like, I know for me, normal people, when I was 12 years old, I've only drank twice, okay? And the first time I drank, I was 12 years old, I went to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. Second time, same exact thing happened. Normal people, normal 12-year-olds, like, playing fucking baseball, and, like, going to school, and, like, playing video games, and, like, relaxing, and, like, no worries. And for me, I'm, like, in the hospital, and the doctor's like, oh, this kid's screwed. Like, that's not what normal people do, honestly. And I, like, but it's not, like, for me, like, having, like, a bad family. Like, I had a great family. Like, both my parents had great jobs. They both I was raised right. It was just, it was me and, like, but, I don't know, like, I love, like, my family today, and, like, I'm real, like, grateful to have them in my life today, like, my family to be, like, real supportive, and, like, my mom, like, make sure, like, it's, like, real weird, because, like, I'll be, like, on vacation, my mom's like, are you going to a meeting? It's like, what? I'm on it's crazy, but, I don't know, like, I love this fellowship so much in this program, and, like, all, like, the new people I met. Like, I was talking to this guy, like, before I came here, and, like, this dude is from Baltimore, and I just met him, like, the other day. He's like, Steve, I'm only a phone call away. It's like, holy shit, like, you're right. And, like, all these people that I've met, because, like, when I had, like, a year clean, like I told you, I started developing, like, this ego. And so, like, to kill this ego, like, I started branching out to other meetings in different areas, and, like, going to meeting, like, different meetings, and, like, I started feeling like the newcomer all over again. It's like, just, And so, like, today, like, when I get sick of talking to people from my area, I can call people from this area, or this state, or this region, and stuff like that. It's crazy, but, I don't know, it's, I love this place so much, and, I just can't stress how much of, like, an honor it is to come up here, because, I don't know, like, I like doing this, I guess. It's, like, for me, it's, like, a very small, like, part of service for me. For me, like, in my life today, like, the most, like, important, like, service I can do is, like, help the newcomer, and, like, those one-on-ones after the meeting, and, like, when someone calls you, like, that desperation, and, like, and things like that, but, I don't know how long I've been going up here. I feel like I've done enough, and, my friend always says, when you're done, you're done, so, I don't know, I'm really grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. And could someone read Just for Today?